So we are live. Hi, Supernaturals. It is your host, Beverly Hines. I am also the founder of HairScripts, our platform that connects women experiencing hair loss to dermatologists and trichologists and other hair restoration specialists for treatment and support. I'm really excited about today's guest, Dr. Rena Alau. She is a board certified dermatologist. She is also the co-host of her own podcast called Skin the Surface, which you can find on Spotify. And I'm really excited about having her here today because this is a topic that while we think we know about it, we really need to go into the, like really the grains. Let's start splitting hairs about CCCA. So Dr. Alau, if you can, before we go into that topic, tell us a little bit about yourself, your experience in dermatology, what led you on this journey, how'd you get here? And then if you can go ahead and start talking about what is CCCA.
Yeah, so, well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk about this topic. So I'm a board certified dermatologist who I practice in the Philadelphia suburbs, so right in King of Prussia, which we're known for our one of the largest malls in the United States there. And I grew up in upstate New York and moved to, went to medical school at George Washington University and really had an interest in internal medicine. But I had exposure, a lot of exposure to dermatology and how what our skin, the relationship between our skin and other internal medicine conditions there. And so it really interested me. And then one thing that really, what really spoke to me is actually how, what our skin conditions and, for example, acne or hair loss or eczema, boils and cysts, psoriasis, and how that really impacts us and how important it is. And patients love their dermatologists. And I love, you know, doing the surgical aspect of dermatology. I love the diversity within the specialty itself. I have the ability to see adults and children, have the ability to do cosmetics and medical dermatology. So there's just so much diversity. It's every day is exciting. So that's what really led me to this career. So I'm excited to talk about this topic in particular on this podcast, just because, you know, so many patients come to me and they have a common misconception about this hair loss. And they think, oh, my gosh, this is my fault. I cause this type of hair loss. And so I really want to go over what it is, what we can do to prevent it, treatment for it, and then some things that you can do at home.
OK, so Dr. Alau, what is CCCA? And can you pronounce it for me? Because it's hard. Sure. For me.
So central centrifugal cicatricial alopecia. I mean, say that three times. So this is a scarring type of hair loss, and it most commonly occurs in darker skin types.
Okay.
So Southeast Asians, Latin Americans, African Americans, Middle Easterners like myself. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great topic to touch upon because, you know, this can be, as you can imagine, cosmetically displeasing. It's a type of scarring hair loss where there is destruction of the hair follicles. And this can actually, unfortunately, lead to permanent hair loss. So it can be very frustrating for patients.
Right.
So just a side note, when I say scarring, what do I really mean? So for me, when I approach patients who have hair loss, I like to group them into two groups. And one is scarring hair loss and one is non-scarring hair loss. And so scarring means that there is some type of process that created destruction of the hair follicles. Mm. And so oftentimes when that happens, there can be an inflammatory process there. So inflammation in the skin, there could be thermal damage there, such as heat, exposure, traction. So in order to really figure it out, oftentimes I'll do blood work, I'll do a scalp biopsy. So there's some things that we can do. And for any dermatologist seeing a lot of hair loss patients, they'll say it's often a detective work. You really have to dive into it and think about what could be the cause, and not all types of hair loss fit into that one box there.
So quick question, because you said that it is more prevalent in more darker skin ethnicities like Black, African-American, brown skins. So why is that? Why are we more susceptible to CCCA?
That's an excellent question. You know, oftentimes we think it's because of a certain hairstyle. So that is what it was initially called. It was called a hot comb alopecia. Mm. And eventually they thought it was due to certain hairstyles. And that would be due to certain ethnicities or cultural practices there. For example, perms, weaves, braids, hair extensions, and anything that created traction or thermal damage on the scalp there. And so that is one important piece of the puzzle. And so that's why we tend to see it more in darker skin types because of those hairstyle practices and hairstyles there.
Right. So the question, because some of us really want to know, so does that mean it's not caused, or that is one of many causes, like heat and styling and manipulation?
Right. That's an excellent question. The exact cause, we don't really fully understand the exact cause of it, but we do know that that's one piece of the puzzle. The other piece is, interestingly, when we do scalp biopsies for this type of hair loss, we often see inflammation around the hair follicles there. And so that tells us that there's some type of inflammatory process. Now, where does that inflammation come from? What causes that inflammation? That's a really, you know, it's really interesting because I can't exactly tell you the exact cause for it. But what I can tell you is that we do know that it's not the hot comb alopecia. We don't use that term anymore because it's not the only reason why people have this type of hair loss.
So I'm not a dermatologist, but I know something is wrong with my scalp. How does it present, and what do I look for, and when do I give you a call?
Right. That's an excellent question. So it's important to get plugged in as soon as possible. And one of the initial signs, this is a gradual type of hair loss. So people don't notice it right away. They'll say, you know, it can even be months to years. Honestly, it takes years for this to progress. And they may say, you know what, I know it's a little bit of tingling on my scalp. I have a little bit of itching on the top of my scalp. And they'll start to notice a little bit of thinning right at the crown of the scalp there. Okay. And what happens is it radiates out. So that's hence the name's the central. So it starts in the center of the scalp, the crown, and then it radiates outward. And they may say, you know what, for months and months. And patients honestly say to me, you know what, I've only worn braids or tight hairstyles or used a hair relaxer once or twice in my life. And so oftentimes it could just be a few times that happened. And for some reason it triggered that type of inflammation or that type of scarring process there.
So how does that differ? Because I was diagnosed with female pattern hair loss, and it sounds very similar. So how does that differ?
That's a great question. So with female pattern hair loss, what happens is that, again, very similar, where you have that thinning on the crown, or sometimes people say, I have a whitened mid part. And then but usually you see a little bit of the regression along the temples there. So they'll see a receding hairline. The other thing with this type of hair loss is that it's scarring. So what you'll feel is that the scalp is smooth, almost similar to the scalp on your forehead. So if you feel your scalp is smooth there, that means that there's destruction of the hair follicles. That means that there's no opening to the hair follicle there. It's completely scarred over. Versus female pattern hair loss, oftentimes I tell patients, we are able to see the hair follicle openings there. We just need the grass to grow. So oftentimes that's one of the differences between that. And then also the cause. So female pattern, often an important part of that puzzle there is the hormone. So it is the male hormone that we all have within us is a little bit more, has a little bit more influence on our hair follicle there. And so then that creates that shedding process or triggers that shedding. So that's why we see that almost that male pattern where we see that receding hairline and thinning on the crown of our scalp.
Okay, so now going back to CCCA and you saying that it's scarring, someone might already say, well, what's the point? It's bad for me. So let's talk about, you know, treatment. You know, how do you now, you've done a biopsy, you've done blood work, and you've identified that it's actually CCCA. How do you start treating?
That's a great question. So the most important thing what I tell patients is try to get plugged in as early as possible with a dermatologist for any type of hair loss. So it's important to be as proactive as possible, right? Just because we can try to save as much of the hair as we can. And the treatments are more successful if we see you earlier on. One of the things that we can do to treat is not necessarily, you know, what we can do is prevent progression. And so oftentimes in terms of the treatment, whether it be topical steroids, injection of steroids, and I'll go over all this. The point is to prevent the progression. So we'll save the hair that's already there and to promote the hair that's there to be thicker.
I'm glad you said that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No. I was just affirming what you said.
So when it comes to preventing progression there, usually I like to figure out, okay, what type of symptoms do you have? So if someone says that they have burning or tingling or itching, then oftentimes the topical steroid or injection of a steroid there in the areas that are not scarred. So usually it's almost like we inject a ring around the area that is scarred. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, to decrease the inflammation. Now, you may be listening and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have her inject a steroid into my scalp there. It is a very fine needle. And it is, this treatment is done by a board certified dermatologist there. So it is injected at the, you know, very superficially. And the idea is to, again, decrease the inflammation around the hair follicle there and prevent the progression. And oftentimes I find this to be very successful. It helps with the itching, the tingling, the burning sensation, and again, help prevent the hair loss from progressing. The other thing is an oral antibiotic can be very helpful. So an oral antibiotic can be helpful if you experience some tingling. Sometimes we even do a short course, a taper of oral steroids. Again, if you're symptomatic, if you have any of these symptoms, and again, preventing the progression. And then, you know, in terms of some newer things out there, sometimes we, believe it or not, can do Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine, which became famous with COVID, coronavirus there. But there's some smaller studies that show that it has been beneficial. And then PRP, which is the plasma-rich platelet therapy, which is a treatment that is not traditional for this type of hair loss, but there are few select studies in some dermatology journals showing some promise. Essentially, what PRP is, you may have heard about it, it's become a little bit famous recently, is the dermatologist draws your blood, and then just to simplify it, very basic, they put it in a centrifuge, and then you get that that rich plasma there with the growth factors, and then we inject that back into your scalp. To be honest, I haven't, you know, haven't done that type of hair loss for this type of scarring alopecia, but I have done it for another type of scarring alopecia and have had some success. So there is some promise to it.
So I want to really, I want to dig in a little deeper into the treatment. So let's talk about the plasma. What is the benefit of plasma and PRP?
No, that's a great question. So the benefit is the growth factors within that plasma. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that these growth factors will help to, again, help promote hair growth that's already there in the non-scarred areas, and then also decrease the inflammation in the scalp itself. So it's also thought to be very helpful for the type of hair loss that you had mentioned earlier, which is that female pattern or male pattern hair loss. And again, the idea is to decrease the inflammation in the scalp there. It's also thought to promote the hair follicle, to basically promote healthier hair growth there and transition it into the anagen phase, the hair growth phase there. So there's a few, you know, PRP is still, there's so much information. There's a lot of studies going on about PRP and the benefits for various types of hair loss there and whether it could be beneficial for even, you know, non-scarring types of hair loss. So we're continuing to learn about it.
How many treatments of PRP will someone need to have before they see some results?
That's a great question. So usually on average, about three to four treatments every 6 months apart. The treatment itself, usually sometimes the dermatologist will numb the scalp with, whether it be with injecting a numbing medication or topical numbing medication, just because there is some discomfort while doing the treatment itself. So they may feel that their scalp is burning, though it's temporary and transient there, it can be a little bit uncomfortable. And so sometimes we'll use ice packs, some cooling, some fans in the room there just to cool the scalp to prevent any discomfort.
So now I have heard, because we've had other guests on here talk about PRP, and some of them mix it with microneedling. Do you do that? And what's the benefit of actually doing PRP and mixing it with microneedling?
That's a great question. So you can do that mixture there. And the idea is that you would get a little bit of better penetration. Sometimes people actually do that for acne scars. So they'll do microneedling and then they'll do PRP there. And the idea is, again, microneedling is when you just do these micropunctures in the skin there. The idea is to promote healthy scar formation there. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that you're poking these small holes and then putting in basically growth factors to not only promote healthy scar formation, but also to, you know, to the idea is that more that anti-aging scar, you know, scar revision, that youthful look. So sometimes people call it the vampire facial.
Vampire facial.
So, yeah, exactly. So that, you know, to be honest, I haven't had a lot of experience with doing that on the scalp. But I don't see why it would, you know, the idea is that you're getting a better penetration. So I don't see why that would be a bad idea. But I think that I would be more comfortable if there are more studies out there showing the benefits to that.
And then you are the only person that I've heard mention Plaquenil and hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm. So how exactly does that work? Because you did mention with the topical steroid, it reduces inflammation.
Right.
Your oral antibiotic, I guess, takes care of what? Maybe any bacteria that might be present on the scalp?
Right. So the oral antibiotic is, so usually we do something called doxycycline, which doxycycline has some anti-inflammatory effects to it. So sometimes that will, the goal is, again, decrease some of that inflammation there in the scalp that will, and that's usually when someone has discomfort, I'll usually do that, but it wouldn't be my first go-to. I wouldn't say starting with, usually my go-to is one, having a detailed discussion about how to prevent it, and then two, is the topical, and then talk about injectable steroids.
So let's talk about Plaquenil and the hydroxychloroquine. Exactly how does that work with helping with CCCA?
Yeah, so with Plaquenil, there's not a lot of studies out there, and we don't really understand the mechanism, but they do. They have, you know, had some studies showing that there is some benefit to using it in combination with topical steroids there. That's an excellent question. I wish I could answer that directly. And, you know, I will, you know, I have this discussion with patients that, you know, it's the mechanism is not fully understood, but mm-hmm. but there are a few smaller studies showing the benefit to Plaquenil. Uh-huh. And, you know, sometimes I've had patients who have CCCA and I've had on Plaquenil. And they've had some improvement, improvement meaning that they haven't had slowing down the progression of the hair loss there. We know that Plaquenil can also be used for lichen planopilaris, which is another type of scarring hair loss there, also known as LPP. So again, the mechanism is not fully understood, but
studies to back. And so what's the vehicle for Plaquenil? Is that an injection? Is that an oral?
Great question. So that's an oral medication there. And usually, again, this is a discussion with the dermatologist there, right. and blood work monitoring is needed as well.
Right. So I'm glad that she inserted that, guys. You can't find any of this stuff over the counter, and no, you can't go on Amazon and buy it. Please, please just schedule an appointment with the dermatologist. And, you know, plug, you can always find a dermatologist on the HairScripts platform. And there you go. You can find us on HairScriptsApp.com. So going back now, so we talked about treatment and newer treatment options. Are there more homeopathic treatment options? Because there's always people that are still kind of like, I don't know about, you know, medicine and blah, blah, blah. So what do we have out there for those more naturalistas?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So one thing that's really important if you are experiencing this type of hair loss is to practice very gentle hair care. And I think it's a tough situation because on one hand, you have this scarring hair loss and you don't want to do anything that's going to make it worse. The other hand, you have an idea of what you want your hairstyle to look like. Right. And so, I encourage everyone to really reach out to their hairstylist because they know so much. So working with a dermatologist and a hairstylist, and oftentimes I'll reach out to the hairstylist as well. Mm. See, you know, I'm always amazed on what they can do in terms of camouflaging and safe hairstyles. So if you have hair extensions, if you use them, you know, just to make sure that they're light, they're not heavy, they're not tight. Avoiding any tight braids there, loose hairstyles are key, and then avoiding a lot of thermal damage. In terms of natural ingredients, there's so much buzz about different botanical ingredients. So sometimes patients will say, I use peppermint oil or pumpkin seed oil, mm-hmm. Argan oil, lavender oil. So when going back into literature, though there's not any concrete studies on this, there are a lot of anecdotal evidence showing that this can be very helpful. Again, the mechanism we don't really understand, but the idea is that does this decrease some of the inflammation? Does this lubricate the scalp? Are we able to, again, protect the hair shaft, the hair that's present?
Right.
And again, you're not going to get that hair that's scarred back. It's a very low likelihood. But again, to really save what's there is crucial.
Right.
The other thing that I recommend for patients, if you want something natural, is just to stay away from petroleum-based oils, mineral oil there, just because those tend to be heavy and occlusive. So what I recommend is just using more natural light oils, like the ones that I mentioned. And I can give you some information so that you can post it for your listeners out there.
Absolutely, please. Yeah. Because they always love to break it down for them. Okay, so what are petroleum-based oils?
Right, exactly.
Which are, so that's good. And I know you said that, you know, as far as mechanism, we don't know, and there are some light studies. But my question to you is, in your practice, have you seen botanicals like peppermint oil, et cetera, actually work for patients?
You know, interestingly, I had a few patients who've used coconut oil and argan oil, and I've had someone use jojoba oil as well. And they have noticed, and I have noticed, just improvement in the overall appearance of their hair. So yeah. Not necessarily hair growth, but the hair that was there, yep, that was fragile surrounding the scarred area. I definitely, and they say to me, you know, it may be my head, and their hairstylist had mentioned improvement as well. So I'm always amazed. And my idea of this is just that you're protecting the hair that's already there, the fragile hair. So again, you want to support the hair shaft. So the hair that's damaged, part of the story for me is that there is an impairment, or the hair shaft is not as viable as it was, whether it be from thermal damage or inflammation or whatnot. And so protecting that hair shaft there is key. So I actually really think that it's not a bad idea to do that. And I think, getting plugged in with your dermatologist is key, just to kind of go over, you know, what would be safe to use and what would not be safe.
Awesome. So we talked about, you know, obviously what CCCA is, some treatment options, a lot of great ones and new ones that we haven't heard of here before. And we talked about some things that we could do to prevent as much as we can, right? Because there's just some causes that we don't know. So now maintenance, you know, I've done all the right things. You know, I've went on hairscripts.app.com and found me a good dermatologist, or I went to Dr. Allow. And what do I do for maintenance? How do we maintain the hair that's on the head and continue to have better lifestyle changes that's going to make sure we slow the progression of hair loss?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great question. So the most important thing is practicing safe hairstyles there, even when it comes down to washing. So everyone washes their hair very differently in the frequency of hair washing. And that really comes down to also cultural practices. So, you know, I think it's important to, you know, when you're washing your hair, being very gentle, even when you're applying the soap and even when you're applying the shampoo, really not scrubbing the scalp there. Using a conditioner with every shampoo is important. Using a natural oil for your scalp to lubricate it as well, like we said before. So shea butter, coconut oil, argan oil, those can be very helpful as well. And then, you know, trying your best to let your hair air dry, trying not to use thermal damage. Sometimes I'll even say, you know, don't use any heat on your hair. And everyone at me like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. But you know, it's easier said than done, you know. So I understand that we all have an idea of a certain hairstyle, and then getting plugged in. But the most important thing for maintaining for CCCA is preventing further progression. And how to do that is really just focusing on gentle hairstyles and focusing on gentle hair care. And that's key.
I love that you said that. I have a quick question about the oils before we move on. There's always this discussion about how long, how often, when right. How often should you actually apply oils to your scalp to start to see some type of progression?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So in terms of oils, I usually recommend every other day or every day, especially at the ends there of your scalp, just not necessarily of your hair, not necessarily rubbing that oil into the scalp itself, but really lubricating the hair itself. And even just starting from the outside and going in. But sometimes people just don't like to oil their hair, you know, every day because they just don't like, they feel like their hair texture is hard or they feel like it's going to cause their hair to break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or matted there. So really just lubricating your scalp 2 to 3 times a week is my rule of thumb. And if you feel like your hair is getting dry or losing that moisture there and hydrating your scalp and your hair there, then every day would be fine.
Gotcha. Okay, so I have a question for you. As I mentioned earlier, HairScripts is a platform that is connecting women like me who are experiencing various levels of hair loss to dermatologists like yourself, trichologists, and other hair restoration specialists. So what are your thoughts about our community? Because we are a community-based platform and marketplace. So what are your thoughts about HairScripts?
I think it's excellent. I think this idea is perfect. I think we, you know, linking... I think a lot of people are embarrassed about hair loss, or they shouldn't be, but you know, hair loss is every time a patient comes to me who's experiencing hair loss, to be honest, it's a long conversation because it's frustrating. You know, they may feel even silly coming in and talking about it just because, you know, some of their family members or they themselves may think, oh, this is not really important. And having an outlet like this is excellent because, you know, people want to hear about this and they want a good resource that's trusted. You know, when you go online and Google things and you start to see things and it's discouraging or it may not be true. And so having a resource where everything is available on one platform, I think it's excellent.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rena Alao. Where can everyone find you online? Because that's where they're going to start.
So you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Rena Derm. I also have a Twitter, which is the same username there. And then please follow us on skinthesurfacepod.com. That's my podcast website there as well. So we have podcasts every week there, just focusing on various skincare topics there. And you can also find me on Google there and you can look up about my practice, the practice that I'm in, Schreger Dermatology.
Awesome. Well, please do not be a stranger to the Supernatural Show or HairScripts at all. I don't know if you're on Clubhouse, but we're looking to try to moderate some rooms in there. So I would love for you to come on at some point if you are on there. So
thank you much for having me. This is really wonderful.
Absolutely. Take care, Dr. Rena.